All right, let's just review a little bit here.
Okay.
It took hard work. You didn't work just 8 hours. You worked probably 12 hours. You were innovative. You had a creative mind. These pieces of hardware. Did you go beyond latches and hinges? Did you create other products?
Yeah, and by 86, 87, we had exhausted the fence industry, because the fence industry is the only people using these hinges and latches. They were designed for a 6-foot-tall wood fence that's out in the wind and the rain. The wood gets wet. That was the size of the market. So knowing the fence industry, I also knew in the late 80s that ornamental fencing, that's what we called it. Now it's just a steel picket fence, was on the rise. Residential, commercial, even industrial, it's replacing chain link. So I came up with the system. My first problem was, you build a panel as big as this table, how am I going to get it to Baltimore? Okay, LTL doesn't work, going to get beat up and everything. So you needed to build a product and to sell enough of it to ship a whole truckload up there. And that market wasn't ready for that unless you had some big jobs. So I decided I had to build a product that I could put in a box, components, and you, even a homeowner, could figure out how to put it together. That, too, is when Lowe's and Home Depot really came on the market in the late 80s and 90s in the do-it-yourself market. We had some pretty good timing there. So the all-purpose ornamental product, it took off pretty good. Then in 91, I started going into the spec arena.
Spec?
Spec arena. Spec arena is where American Airlines needs to add some security fencing. They will go to an architect first, or design and build construction company, and say, this is what we think we want. Then a good company will tell you what you really want, and they would spec the product that's going in there. Okay. So I started hitting the architect area and the design firms. Lo and behold, first year was about 91, and I didn't go because I went to Atlanta or someplace, and I was visiting some other people. Well, Paul, who's still with me, my brother-in-law, he and Wally Berner went to this architect firm in downtown Tulsa. They were designing all of the Walmarts for Walmart over here in Arkansas. They were doing them all. I found those people. I kept calling Walmart. I said, you need to talk to the people right there where you're at. And I got a meeting to go up and talk to those people. Well, I was out of town with Paul and Wally, who were very capable. What we were interested in, Walmart back in the 80s started building these garden centers on the end of their new buildings. A lot of people don't realize that, but back then they were building 300-400 stores a year. And most of them were new stores, but a lot of them replacing the old ones because they kept getting bigger. They were putting these chain link fences on the end of these stores, 20 foot tall. It didn't matter. People were cutting through it. Just takes about 15 seconds. And I knew that, so I wanted to talk to Walmart and say, you know, we can build you a better fence. Just takes longer to get in. More trouble getting in, because a lot of people were stealing lawnmowers, and they were local kids or something. They wasn't professional thieves. And anybody had a pair of pliers, but it took more to get through my product. Well, we got Walmart to spec the all-purpose product. In 92, we sold them $4 million worth of fence at a 60% margin, gross margin. Boy, that took off. We did about $5 million with them for about 10 years. And then we started getting some competition. There was a guy down south of Dallas. He figured out what we were doing. By then, in the mid-90s, the all-purpose had switched to the Aegis product, which was a product made through automation. Aegis is A-E-G-I-S.
Right.
It's a Greek word that means shield.
Let's talk a little bit about in American Hardware. This is something else that you thought of. The hinges were being painted, and you powdered the hinges instead of painting.
That was the powder coat. When my hardware started really selling in 83, 84, we were painting them in a dip process. We just stirred up some paint and we'd dip them. It took 2 days to dry. I built kind of an oven with big heated bulbs to try to heat them. That was the bottleneck. I could stamp out thousands a day and put them together, but that was the bottleneck. Well, there was a guy that told me, said, have you ever heard of powder coating? I said, well, of course not. Well, there is a powder coating line for sale. I know you remember the company Zibco.
Yeah.
Made reels, fishing reels. They had bought a powder coating line, which back then, that just wasn't heard of. It was the first one ever in Oklahoma. They bought it about time they moved everything overseas. So I bought that powder coating line for $80,000. It was automated line, had a conveyor. You hang your product, it went into dip tanks to clean it, different cleansing products. Then you had a pre-treatment dip tank. Then it would go in, you'd heat them up and go through a powder booth, and you just spray on this powder that's applied electrostatically. Man, it would cling on there, then it'd go through another oven. 30 feet down, you could take that hinge and go put it on a fence. It was dry. So I was the first one in the fence industry to ever have powder-coated problem.
So then, this is when you bought that metal building at West Archer.
Yeah. I had an American Fence Company. We're operating together, and I rented a building over in Wolf Point. That's where I first set up this powder-coating line. And I sold the fence company, so I wanted to leave this neighborhood, but I also had an opportunity to buy this old building on West Archer. And altogether, it was about 8,000 square feet, just old metal buildings. They're still there. So I moved my powder coating line over there. There was kind of two buildings. I installed it in one building, and the other building is where I stamped the product. So I had the stamping operation, then the coating and packaging. And that's when we, let's see, 84... We sold over $1 million worth of hardware in 84, water.
So what is Aegis?
Oh, it was the name of my second ornamental product.
And what was that?
It's an ornamental product that we rolled up in a roll form machine. It's really hard to explain it without showing it. That, again, enabled us to ship an ornamental product across the country in a box, and you put it together. But instead of screws, you drop the pickets in the horizontal rails and a rod shoots through it and ties it all together.
And so this was something you created too?
Yeah, back in 91, I woke up about 3 o'clock at night, couldn't go back to sleep, jumped in the shower, and it hit me right there how I was going to tie that together. It was the first patent of any true value. And I'll tell you, right after that, a couple of years, Chinese sent 50,000 fence panels up into the Northeast to one of those home centers up there, and we got a hold of it. Within months, we agreed to let them sell those out, but they sent me a check for $500,000.
So, Aegis, you had at a convention a very clever way to present this product that you had designed.
Yeah.
How did that work?
Well, Paul, my brother-in-law, and he's the only engineer we've ever had. He said, it's a great product, Ed, but fence builders aren't going to assemble those panels. They want to go out and get started. Well, I was a fence builder, too. I didn't like any shop work. So I said, well, it's just too easy to put together. And me and my shop foreman, one day we got all the sales guys out there. I put a panel together in 2 minutes. My sales manager, Mark Meek, he said, at the fence convention, it's a pretty good size convention, let's just set up a jig there and let people come in and have a try at putting this panel together. And let's give them a big prize. Whoever, for those 3 days, can assemble it in the fastest time. We were going to give away $20,000 or a new Harley. I've always been a person that wanted to get your attention. I'd always take my Harley. Whether it's Atlanta, Orlando, Houston, or Las Vegas, generally where we'd go. And I'd take my Harley down there. It wasn't a new one, but and I'd have it in our booth. We did that for about 5 years. And we had a husband and wife from Nevada somewhere that practiced in their room. And they got that down to a minute and 30 seconds. We'd have a whole crowd. So we broke that crap right away. It's too hard to assemble. And boy, it took off. And we were too selling directly to fence companies at the time. But then the world's largest distributor of fence products, Master Halco, Barry Mars. I was selling my Gate hardware in the late 80s. He came to me, he said, I'll put this product in every branch. He had 50 branches all over the U.S. He said, I'll put 2 truckloads in every branch, but you quit selling all these small fence companies. Barry Mars, to this day, is one of my best friends ever in the industry. I did that. The first year, he bought $5 million worth of product. This is all residential, okay. He put it in these branches, and his branch people would assemble it, or fence companies would assemble. So we finally got the product to New Orleans, to Orlando, to Philadelphia, and smaller. And plus, they distributed by their own trucks to everybody. So all of a sudden, we had the whole country covered in this product that was in a box, and it took off. And then later, Merchants Metals was another national distributor. They were about half as big as Master Halco. They came on board. It took off.